ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Welcome back to the live studios here in Govardhan, ISKCON Bhaktivedanta Ashram. Welcome to all the new attendees in this yagya, the Kartik Vrat, reading Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we've reached the seventh canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 2, 3. Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. Text 1. Narada Muni said to Maharaj Yudhishthir, the demoniac king Hiranyakashipu wanted to be unconquerable and free from old age and dwindling of the body. He wanted to gain all the yogic perfections like anima and lagima, to be deathless and to be the only king of the entire universe, including Brahmaloka. Purport. Such are the goals of the austerities performed by demons. Hiranyakashipu wanted to receive a benediction from Lord Brahma so that in the future he would be able to conquer Lord Brahma's abode. Similarly, another demon received a benediction from Lord Shiva, but later wanted to kill Lord Shiva through that same benediction. Thus, self-interested persons, by demoniac austerity, want to kill even their benedictors, whereas the Vaishnava wants to remain an ever-existing servant of the Lord and never to occupy the post of the Lord. Through Sayuja Mukti, which is generally demanded by asuras, one merges into the existence of the Lord. But although one sometimes thus achieves the goal of the theory of monism, one falls down again to struggle in material existence. Text 2. In the valley of Mandare Hill, Hiranyakashipu began performing his austerities by standing with his toes on the ground, keeping his arms upward, and looking toward the sky. This position was extremely difficult, but he accepted it as a means to attain perfection. From the hair on Hiranyakashipu's head, there emanated an effulgent light as brilliant and intolerable as the rays of the sun at the time of dissolution. Seeing the performance of such austere penances, the demigods, who had been wandering throughout the planets, now returned to their respective homes. 4. Because of Hiranyakashipu's severe austerities, fire came from his head, and this fire and its smoke spread throughout the sky, encompassing the upper and lower planets, which all became extremely hot. Text 5. Because of the power of his severe austerities, all the rivers and oceans were agitated. The surface of the globe, with its mountains and islands, began trembling, and the stars and planets fell. All directions were ablaze. Scorched and extremely disturbed because of Hiranyakashipu's severe penances, all the demigods left the planets where they reside and went to the planet of Lord Brahma, where they informed the Creator as follows. O Lord of the demigods, O Master of the universe, because of the fire emanating from Hiranyakashipu's head as a result of his severe austerities, we have become so disturbed that we could not stay in our planets, but have come to you. O great person, chief of the universe, if you think it proper, kindly stop these disturbances meant to destroy everything before all your obedient subjects are annihilated. Text 8. Hiranyakashipu had undertaken a most severe type of austerity. Hiranyakashipu has undertaken a most severe type of austerity. Although his plan is not unknown to you, kindly listen as we submit his intentions. 9 and 10. The Supreme Person within this universe, Lord Brahma, has gotten his exalted post by dint of severe austerities, mystic power, and trance. Consequently, after creating the universe, he has become the most worshipable demigod within it. Since I am eternal and time is eternal, I shall endeavor for such austerity, mystic power, and trance for many, many births, and thus I shall occupy the same post occupied by Lord Brahma. Purport. Hiranyakashipu's determination was to occupy the post of Lord Brahma, but this was impossible, because Brahma had a long duration of life. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sahasrayuga Paryantam Aharyad Brahmano Viduhu, 1,000 yugas equals 1 day of Brahma. The duration of Brahma's life is extremely great, and consequently, it was impossible for Hiranyakashipu to occupy that post. Nonetheless, his decision was that since the self, Atma, and time are both eternal, if he could not occupy that post in one lifetime, he would continue to execute austerities life after life, so that sometime he would be able to do so. By dint of my severe austerities, I shall reverse the results of pious and impious activities. I shall overturn all the established practices within this world. Even Dhruvaloka will be vanquished at the end of the millennium. Therefore, what is the use of it? I shall prefer to remain in the position of Brahma. Purport. Hiranyakashipu's demoniac determination was explained to Lord Brahma by the demigods, who informed him that Hiranyakashipu wanted to overturn all the established principles. After executing severe austerities, people within this material world are promoted to the heavenly planets. But Hiranyakashipu wanted them to be unhappy, suffering because of the diplomatic feelings of the demigods, even in the heavenly planets. He wanted those who were harassed in this world by material transactions to be unhappy for the same reason, even in the heavenly planets. Indeed, he wanted to introduce such harassment everywhere. One might ask how this would be possible, since the universe has been established since immemorial, but Hiranyakashipu was proud to declare that he would be able to do everything by the power of his tapasya. He even wanted to make the Vaishnava's position insecure. These are some of the symptoms of asuric determination. 12. O Lord, we have heard from reliable sources that in order to obtain your post, Hiranyakashipu is now engaged in severe austerity. You are the master of the three worlds. Please, without delay, take whatever steps you deem appropriate. Purport. In the material world, a servant is provided for by the master, but is always planning how to capture the master's post. There have been many instances of this in history. Especially in India, during the Mohammedan rule, many servants, by plans and devices, took over the posts of their masters. It is learned from Chaitanya literature that one big zamindar, Subhuti Roy, kept a Mohammedan boy as a servant. Of course, he treated the boy as his own child, and sometimes, when the boy would steal something, the master would chastise him by striking him with a cane. There was a mark on the boy's back, on the boy's back, from this chastisement. Later, after that boy had been, by crooked means, become Hussein Shah, Nawab of Bengal, one day his wife saw the mark on his back and inquired about it. The Nawab replied that in his childhood, He had been a servant of Subodhi Roy, who had punished him because of some mischievous activities. Upon hearing this, the Nabob's wife immediately became agitated and requested her husband to kill Subodhi Roy. Nabob Hussain Shah, of course, was very grateful to Subodhi Roy and therefore refused to kill him. But when his wife requested him to turn Subodhi Roy into a Mohammedan, the Nawab agreed. Taking some water from his water pot, he sprinkled it upon Subodhi Roy and declared that Subodhi Roy had now become a Mohammedan. The point is that this Nawab had been an ordinary menial servant of Subodhi Roy, but was somehow or other able to occupy the supreme post of Nawab of Bengal. This is the material world. Everyone is trying to become master through various devices, although everyone is a servant of his senses. Following this system, a living entity, although servant of his senses, tries to become master of the whole universe. Hiranyakashipu was a typical example of this, and Brahma was informed by the demigods of his intentions. Text 13. O Lord Brahma, your position within this universe is certainly most auspicious for everyone, especially the cows and brahmanas. Brahminical culture and the protection of cows can be increasingly glorified, and thus all kinds of material happiness, opulence, and good fortune will automatically increase. But unfortunately, if Hiranyakashipu occupies your seat, everything will be lost. Purport. In this verse, the words dvijagavam parameshcham indicate the most exalted position of the brahmanas, brahminical culture, and the cows. In Vedic culture, the welfare of the cows and the welfare of the brahmanas are essential. Without a proper arrangement for developing brahminical culture and protecting cows, all the affairs of administration will go to hell. Being afraid that Hiranyakashipu would occupy the post of Brahma, all the demigods were extremely disturbed. Hiranyakashipu was a well-known demon, and the demigods knew that if demons and rakshasas were to occupy the supreme post, brahminical culture and protection of cows would come to an end. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the original proprietor of everything is Lord Krishna, Bhoktaram, Jagyatabhasam, Sarvaloka, Maheshwaram. The Lord therefore knows particularly well how to develop the material condition of living entities within this material world. In every universe, there is one Brahma engaged on behalf of Lord Krishna, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tenhi Brahma Rida Yaadi Kavaye. The principal creator in each Brahmanda is Lord Brahma, who imparts Vedic knowledge to his disciples and sons. On every planet, the king or supreme controller must be a representative of Brahma. Therefore, if a rakshasa or demon were situated in Brahma's post, then the entire arrangement of the universe, especially the protection of the brahminical culture and cows, would be ruined. All the demigods anticipated this danger, and therefore they went to request Lord Brahma to take immediate steps to thwart Hiranyakashipu's plan. In the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma was attacked by two demons, Madhu and Kaitabha, but Krishna saved him. Therefore, Krishna is addressed as Madhu Kaitabha Hantri. Now again, Hiranyakashipu was trying to replace Brahma. The material world is so situated that even the position of Lord Brahma, not to speak of ordinary living entities, is sometimes in danger. Nonetheless, until the time of Hiranyakashipu, no one had tried to replace Lord Brahma. Hiranyakashipu, however, was such a great demon that he maintained this ambition. The word bhutyai means for increasing opulence, and the word shreyase refers to ultimately returning home back to Godhead. In spiritual advancement, one's material position improves at the same time that the path of liberation becomes clear and one is freed from material bondage. If one is situated in an opulent position in spiritual advancement, his opulence never decreases. Therefore, such a spiritual benediction is called bhuti or vibhuti. Krishna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam mamate chong shasam babam. If a devotee advances in spiritual consciousness and thus becomes materially opulent also, his position is a special gift from the Lord. Such opulence is never to be considered material. At the present, especially on this planet Earth, the influence of Lord Brahma has decreased considerably, and the representatives of Hiranyakashipu, the Rakshasas and demons, have taken charge. Therefore, there is no protection of Brahminical culture and cows, which are the basic prerequisites for all kinds of good fortune. This age is very dangerous because society is being managed by demons and Rakshasas. Text 14. O King, thus being informed by the demigods, the most powerful Lord Brahma, accompanied by Bhrigu, Daksha, and other great sages, immediately started for the place where Hiranyakashipu was performing his penances and austerities. Purport. Lord Brahma was waiting for the austerities performed by Hiranyakashipu to mature, so that he could go there and offer benedictions according to Hiranyakashipu's desire. Now, taking the opportunity of being accompanied by all the demigods and great saintly persons, Brahma went there to award him the benediction he desired. 15 and 16. Lord Brahma, who was carried by a swan airplane, at first could not see where Hiranyakashipu was, for Hiranyakashipu's body was covered by an anthill and by grass and bamboo sticks. Because Hiranyakashipu had been there for a long time, the ants had devoured his skin, fat, flesh, and blood. Then Lord Brahma and the demigods spotted him, resembling a cloud-covered sun, heating all the world by his austerity. Struck with wonder, Lord Brahma began to smile and then addressed him as follows. Purport. The living entity can live merely by his own power, without the help of skin, marrow, bone, blood, and so on. Because it is said, Asango yayam purusha. The living entity has nothing to do with the material covering. Hiranyakashipu performed a severe type of tapasya, austerity, for many long years. Indeed, it is said that he performed the tapasya for 100 heavenly years. Since one day of the demigods equals 6 of our months, certainly this was a very long time. By nature's own way, his body had been almost consumed by earthworms, ants, and other parasites, and therefore even Brahma was at first unable to see him. Later, however, Brahma could ascertain where Hiranyakashipu was, and Brahma was struck with wonder to see Hiranyakashipu's extraordinary power to execute tapasya. Anyone would conclude that Hiranyakashipu was dead because his body was covered in so many ways. But Lord Brahma, the supreme living being in this universe, could understand that Hiranyakashipu was alive but covered by material elements. It is also to be noted that although Hiranyakashipu performed this austerity for a long, long time, he was nonetheless known as a daitya and rakshasa. It will be seen from verses to follow that even great saintly persons could not perform such a severe type of austerity. Why then was he called a rakshasa and daitya? It is because whatever he did was for his own sense gratification. His son Prahlad Maharaj was only 5 years old, and so what could Prahlad do? Yet simply by performing a little devotional service, according to the instructions of Narada Muni, Prahlad became so dear to the Lord that the Lord came to save him, whereas Hiranyakashipu, in spite of all his austerities, was killed. This is the difference between devotional service and all other methods of perfection. One who performs severe austerities for sense gratification is fearful to the entire world, whereas a devotee who performs even a slight amount of devotional service is a friend to everyone. Suridam sarvabhutanam. Since the Lord is the well-wisher of every living entity, and since a devotee assumes the qualities of the Lord, a devotee also acts for everyone's good fortune by performing devotional service. Thus, although Hiranyakashipu performed such a severe austerity, he remained a daitya and rakshasa, whereas Prahlad Maharaj, although born of the same daitya father, became the most exalted devotee and was personally protected by the Supreme Lord. Bhakti is therefore called sarvopadi vinirmuktam, indicating that a devotee is freed from all material designations and anyabhilashita shunyam, situated in a transcendental position, free from all material desires. Lord Brahma said, O son of Kashyapa Muni, please get up, please get up. O good fortune unto you, you are now perfect in the performance of your austerities, and therefore I may give you a benediction. You may now ask from me whatever you desire, and I shall try to fulfill your wish. Purport. Srila Madhvacharya quotes from the Skanda Purana, which says that Hiranyakashipu, having become a devotee of Lord Brahma, who was known as Hiranyagarbha, and having undergone a severe austerity to please him, is also known as Hiranyaka. Rakshasas and demons worship various demigods such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, just to take the post of these demigods. This we have already explained in previous verses. 18. I have been very much astonished to see your endurance. In spite of being eaten and bitten by all kinds of worms and ants, you are keeping your life air circulating within your bones. Certainly, this is wonderful. Purport. It appears that the soul can exist even through the bones, as shown by the personal example of Hiranyakashipu. When great yogis are in samadhi, even when their bodies are buried and their skin, marrow, blood, and so on have all been eaten, if only their bones remain, they can exist in a transcendental position. Very recently, an archaeologist published findings indicating that Lord Christ, after being buried, was exhumed, and that when he went, and then he went to Kashmir. There have been many actual examples of yogis being buried in trance and exhumed alive and in good condition several hours later. A yogi can keep himself alive in a transcendental state, even if buried not only for many days, but for many years. Text 19. Even saintly persons like Bhrigu, born previously, could not perform such severe austerities, nor will anyone in the future be able to do so. Who within these three worlds can sustain his life without even drinking water for 100 celestial years? Purport. It appears that even if a yogi does not drink a drop of water, he can live for many, many years by the yogic process, though his outer body be eaten by ants and moths. 19. My dear son of Diti, with your great determination and austerity, you have done what was impossible, even for great saintly persons, and thus I have certainly been conquered by you. Purport. In regard to the word jita, Srila Madhva Muni gives the following quotation from the Shabda Nirnaya. Parabhutam bhashastam cha jitabid uchache buddhi budhahi. If one comes under someone else's control or is defeated by another, he is called Jita. Hiranyakashipu's austerities were so great and wonderful that even Lord Brahma agreed to be conquered by him.
O best of the Asuras, for this reason I am now prepared to give you all benedictions according to your desire. I belong to the celestial world of demigods, die like human beings. Therefore, although you are subject to death, your audience with me will not go in vain. Purport. It appears that human beings and Asuras are subject to death, whereas demigods are not. The demigods who reside with Lord Brahma in Satyaloka go to Vaikuntha Loka in their present bodily constructions at the time of dissolution. Therefore, although Hiranyakashipu had undergone severe austerities, Lord Brahma predicted that he had to die. He could not become immortal or even gain equal status with the demigods. The great austerities and penances he had performed for so many years could not give him protection from death. This was foretold by Lord Brahma. Sri Dharnamuni continued, after speaking these words to Hiranyakashipu, Lord Brahma, the original being of this universe, who is extremely powerful, sprinkled transcendental infallible spiritual water from his kamandalu upon Hiranyakashipu's body, which had been eaten away by ants and moths. Thus he enlivened Hiranyakashipu. Purport. Lord Brahma is the first created being within this universe and is empowered by the Supreme Lord to create. Tani Brahma Hrida Adi Kaviye, the Adi Deva, the Adi Kavi, the first living creature, was personally taught by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the heart. There was no one to teach him, but since the Lord is situated within Brahma's heart, Brahma was educated by the Lord himself. Lord Brahma, being especially empowered, is infallible in doing whatever he wants. This is the meaning of the word Amoga Radhasa. He desired to restore Hiranyakashipu's original body, and therefore, by sprinkling transcendental water from his water pot, he immediately did so. 23. As soon as he was sprinkled with the water from Lord Brahma's water pot, Hiranyakashipu arose, endowed with a full body, with limbs so strong that they could bear the striking of a thunderbolt. With physical strength and a bodily luster resembling molten gold, he emerged from the anthill a completely young man, just as fire springs from fuel wood. Purport. Hiranyakashipu was revitalized so much so that his body was quite competent to tolerate the striking of thunderbolts. He was now a young man with a strong body and a very beautiful bodily luster resembling molten gold. This is the rejuvenation that took place because of his severe austerity and penance. 24. Seeing Lord Brahma present before him in the sky, carried by his swan airplane, Hiranyakashipu was extremely pleased. He immediately fell flat with his head on the ground and began to express his obligation to the Lord. Purport. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:23-24, Ye pyanya devata bhakta yajante shudayanvita te pima meva kante ya yajante vidipurvakam yajante vidipurvakam yajante vidipurvakam aham hi sarva jagnanam bhukta cha prabhurevicha natuma mabijananti tapvinatash chavanti te tapvinatash chavanti te Tafminatash Chavantite. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but it is offered without true understanding. I am the only enjoyer and the only object of sacrifice. Those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature fall down. In effect, Krishna says, persons engaged in the worship of demigods are not very intelligent, although such worship is indirectly offered to me. For example, what? For example, when a man pours water on the leaves and branches of a tree without pouring water on the root, he does so without sufficient knowledge or without observing regulative principles. The process of watering a tree is to pour water on the root. Similarly, the process of rendering service to different parts of the body is to supply food to the stomach. The demigods are, so to speak, different officers and directors in the government of the Supreme Lord. One has to follow the laws made by the government, not by the officers or directors. Similarly, everyone is to offer his worship to the Supreme Lord only. That will automatically satisfy the different officers and directors of the Lord. The officers and directors are engaged as representatives of the government, and to offer some bribe to the officers and directors is illegal. This is stated in Bhagavad Gita as a viti purvakam. In other words, Krishna does not approve the unnecessary worship of demigods. In Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that there are many types of yajna performances recommended in the Vedic literatures, but actually all of them are meant for satisfying the Supreme Lord. Yajna means Vishnu. In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that one should work only for satisfying yajna or Vishnu. The perfectional form of human civilization known as Varnashrama Dharma is specifically meant for satisfying Vishnu. Therefore, Krishna says, I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices because I am the Supreme Master. However, less intelligent persons, without knowing this fact, worship demigods for temporary benefit. Therefore, they fall down to material existence and do not achieve the desired goal of life. If, however, anyone has a material desire to be fulfilled, he had better pray for it to the Supreme Lord, although that is not pure devotion, and he will thus achieve the desired result. Although Hiranyakashipu offered his obeisances unto Lord Brahma, he was strongly inimical toward Lord Vishnu. This is the symptom of an asura. Asuras worship the demigods as being separate from the Lord, not knowing that all the demigods are powerful because of being servants of the Lord. If the Supreme Lord were to withdraw the powers of the demigods would no longer be able to offer benedictions to their worshippers. The difference between a devotee and a non-devotee or asura is that a devotee knows that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that everyone derives power from him. Without worshipping the demigods for particular powers, a devotee worships Lord Vishnu, knowing that if he desires a particular power, he can get that power while acting as Lord Vishnu's devotee. Therefore, in the Shastra, Bhagavatam 2.3.10, it is recommended, Akama sarvakama va mukshakam udadati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of material desires, free from material desires, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. Even if a person has material desires, instead of worshiping the demigods, he should pray to the Supreme Lord so that his connection with the Supreme Lord will be established and he will be saved from becoming a demon or a non-devotee. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya gives the following quotation from the Brahma Tarka. From where? Ekastanaika karyatvad Vishnu pradhanyatastata Jivasya tad adhinat dvan na binat taikrikam vacha. Since Vishnu is the Supreme, by worshipping Vishnu, one can fulfill all one's desires. There is no need to divert one's attention to any demigod. Text number 25. Then getting up from the ground and seeing Lord Brahma before him, the head of the daityas was overwhelmed by jubilation. With tears in his eyes, his whole body shivering, he began praying in a humble mood with folded hands and a faltering voice to satisfy Lord Brahma.
Interesting. Yeah, because the Sanskrit says Sri Hiranyakashipu Uvacha, and there's no Hiranyakashipu said in the translation. Could you make a note of that? So I can... But we can't change anything. Let me off...
Because maybe it says it in the previous verse.
And I don't... No, then it should say... No, that's not normally the way it's not done. Anyway, I'll put it to Dravid and he can make up his mind. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord within this universe. At the end of each day of his life, the universe is fully covered with dense darkness by the influence of time. And then again, during his next day, that self-effulgent Lord, by his own effulgence, manifests, maintains, and destroys the entire cosmic manifestation through the material energy, which is invested with the three modes of material nature. He, Lord Brahma, is the shelter of those modes of nature, sattvaguna, rajaguna, and tamaguna. Purport. The words abhivyanag jagadidam refer to him who creates this cosmic manifestation. The original creator is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Janmad Yasya Yataha. Lord Brahma is the secondary creator. When Lord Brahma is empowered by Lord Krishna as the engineer to create this phenomenal world, he becomes the supremely powerful feature within this universe. The total material energy is created by Krishna, and later, taking advantage of all that has necessarily been created, Lord Brahma engineers the entire phenomenal universe. At the end of Lord Brahma's day, everything up to Swarga Loka is inundated with water, and the next morning, when there is darkness in the universe, Brahma again brings the phenomenal manifestation into existence. Therefore, he is described here as he who manifests this universe. Trin Gunan Vrinoti. Lord Brahma takes advantage of the three modes of material nature. Prakriti, material nature, is described here as Trivrita, the source of the three material modes. Srila Madhvacharya comments in this connection that Trivrita means Prakritya. Thus Lord Krishna is the original creator and Lord Brahma is the original engineer. Text 28. I offer my obeisances to the original personality within this universe, Lord Brahma, who is cognizant and who can apply his mind and realized intelligence in creating this cosmic manifestation. It is because of his activities that everything within the universe is visible. He is therefore the cause of all manifestations. Purport. The Vedanta Sutra begins by declaring that the Absolute Person is the original source of all creation, Jadmadyasya Janmadyasya Yataha. One may ask whether Lord Brahma is the Supreme Absolute Person. No, the Supreme Absolute Person is Krishna. Brahma receives his mind, intelligence, materials, and everything else from Krishna, and then he becomes the secondary creator, the engineer of this universe. In this regard, we may note that the creation does not take place accidentally because of the explosion of a chunk. Such nonsensical theories are not accepted by Vedic students. The first created living being is Brahma, who is endowed with perfect knowledge and intelligence by the Lord. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Rida Yaadi Kavaye. Although Brahma is the first created being, he is not independent, for he receives help from the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his heart. There is no one but Brahma at the time of creation, and therefore he receives intelligence directly from the Lord through the heart. This has been discussed in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Brahma is described in this verse as the original cause of the cosmic manifestation, and this applies to his position in the material world. There are many, many such controllers, all of whom are created by the Supreme Lord Vishnu. This is illustrated by an incident described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When the Brahma of this particular universe was invited by Krishna to Dwaraka, he thought that he was the only Brahma. Therefore, when Krishna inquired from his servant which Brahma was at the door to visit, Lord Brahma was surprised. He replied that, of course, Lord Brahma, the father of the four Kumaras, was waiting at the door. Later, Lord Brahma asked Krishna why he had inquired which Brahma had come. He was then informed that there are millions of other Brahmas, because there are millions of universes. Krishna then called all the Brahmas who immediately came to visit him. The Chaturmukha Brahma, the four-headed Brahma of this universe, thought himself a very insignificant creature in the presence of so many Brahmas with so many heads. Thus, although there is a Brahma who is the engineer of each universe, Krishna is the original source of all of them. 29. Your Lordship, being the origin of the life of this material world, is the master and controller of the living entities, both moving and stationary, and you inspire their consciousness. You maintain the mind and the acting and knowledge-acquiring senses, and therefore you are the great controller of all the material elements and their qualities, and you are the controller of all desires. Purport. In this verse it is clearly indicated that the original source of everything is life. Brahma was instructed by the supreme life, Krishna. Krishna is the supreme living entity, Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas, Chaitananam. And Brahma is also a living entity, but the original source of Brahma is Krishna. Therefore Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mattak Paratanam Nanyat Kinchidasti Dananjana Dananjaya. O Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Krishna is the original source of Brahma, who is the original source of this universe. Brahma is a representative of Krishna, and therefore all the qualities and activities of Krishna are also present in Lord Brahma. Text 30. My dear Lord, by your form as the Vedas personified, and through knowledge relating to the activities of all the yajna brahmanas, you spread the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of the seven kinds of sacrifices, headed by Agnishtoma. Indeed, you inspire the yajnic brahmanas to perform the rituals mentioned in the three Vedas. Being the supreme soul, the super soul of all living entities, you are beginningless, endless, and omniscient, beyond the limits of time and space. Oops. Purport. The Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, the knowledge thereof, and the person who agrees to perform them are inspired by the Supreme Lord. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mattak Smriti Jnanam Apavanam Cha. From the Lord come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The super soul is situated in everyone's heart. Sarvasya chaham ridisanavista ishvara sarvabhutanam riddhichar janatishtati. And when one is advanced in Vedic knowledge, the super soul gives him directions. Acting as the super soul, or acting as super soul, the Lord gives inspiration to a suitable person to perform the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. In this connection, four classes of priests, known as Ritvik, are required. They are mentioned as Hota, Advayu, Brahma, and Udgata.
31. O my Lord, your lordship is eternally awake, seeing everything that happens. As eternal time, you reduce the duration of life for all living entities through your different parts, such as moments, seconds, minutes, and hours. Nonetheless, you are unchanged, resting in one place as the Supersoul, Witness and Supreme Lord, the birthless, all-pervading controller who is the cause of life for all living entities. Purport. In this verse, the word Kutastha is very important. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated everywhere, He is the central, unchanging point. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Ridarashar Dunachistati. The Lord is situated in full in the core of everyone's heart. As indicated in the Upanishads by the word Ekatvam, although there are millions and millions of living entities, the Lord is situated as the Supersoul in every one of them. Nonetheless, He is one in many. As stated in the Brahma Sanghita, Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. He has many forms, yet they are Advaita, one and unchanging. Since the Lord is all-pervading, He is also situated in eternal time. The living entities are described as parts and parcels of the Lord because He is the life and soul of all living entities. Being situated within their hearts as the Antaryami, as enunciated by the philosophy of inconceivable oneness and difference, Achintya Bhedabhed. Since the living entities are part of God, they are one in quality with the Lord, yet they are different from Him. The Supersoul who inspires all living entities to act is one and changeless. There are varieties of subjects, objects, and activities, yet the Lord is one. 32. There is nothing separate from you, whether it be better or lower, stationary or moving. The knowledge derived from the Vedic literature like the Upanishads and from all the sublimbs of the original Vedic knowledge form your external body. You are Hiranyagarbha, the reservoir of the universe. But nonetheless, being situated as the supreme controller, you are transcendental to the material world, which consists of the three modes of material nature. Everyone okay? Two people, three? Four, five. Okay, five, six, seven. The word para means the supreme cause, and apara means the effect. The supreme cause is the supreme personality of Godhead, and the effect is material nature. The living entities, both moving and non-moving, are controlled by the Vedic instructions in art and science. What are the living entities, both moving and non-moving, controlled by? Vedic instructions in? That sounds like fun. And therefore, they are all expansions of the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the center, as the Supersoul. The Brahmandas, the universes, exist during the duration of a breath of the Supreme Lord. Yashai Kanishvasitaka Lambata Valambya Jivanti Loma Valajajagananata. Thus, they are also within the womb of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu. Nothing, therefore, is separate from the Supreme Lord. This is the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tapa. True or false, there are a few things in the universe that are separate from the Lord, according to the law of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tapa. False. True or false? You sure? Okay. 33. O my Lord, being changelessly situated in your own abode, you expand your universal form within this cosmic manifestation, thus appearing to taste the material world. You are Brahman, the Supersoul, the oldest, the personality of Godhead. Purport. It is said that the absolute truth appears in three features, namely, impersonal Brahman, localized Supersoul, point to the Supersoul. And ultimately, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The cosmic manifestation is the gross material body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enjoys the taste of the material mellows by expanding his parts and parcels to living entities. Now that's interesting. Come on, give me a break. Who are qualitatively one with him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is situated in the Vaikuntha planets, where he enjoys the spiritual mellows. Therefore, the one absolute truth, Bhagavan, pervades all his material cosmic manifestation, the spiritual Brahman effulgence. Therefore, the one absolute truth, Bhagavan, pervades all by his material cosmic manifestation, the spiritual Brahman effulgence, and his personal existence as the Supreme Lord. Radhika, question. Using up his four-question quota per session.
Can you elaborate on this material mellows? What does it mean? That the Lord is enjoying his...
The living entities, through the living entities.
How?
The living entities come in contact with the material modes of nature and taste the various fruits from the modes of material nature.
You know, the living entities in touch with the material nature, they are suffering. And, correct. You know. So, I mean, I don't remember reading this anywhere else, actually. This
well, point. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Adi Lila, there's a discussion of how the absolute truth means that everything has to be included. That's an awkward way of saying it, but the point is, there has to be the infinitesimal, and there has to be the infinite in order to be the concept of the absolute truth. It's all-encompassing, in other words. Now, if you have an infinitesimal that's unconscious, it doesn't mean anything. The infinitesimal also has to be conscious, and it has to also have freedom. And it can also reside within the lower modes of material nature. And taste those modes of material nature. So they're a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's all-encompassing for the Absolute Truth. Everything's there within the Absolute Truth. And therefore, it's said here that the living entities, as parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are tasting the mellows of the material world. It doesn't say that they're... It's a superior taste. It just says they're tasting them, which is, there's no doubt about that. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasango sa sarasad yoni. Sarasad is the taste. Sarasad yoni janmasu. So it gives a complete picture of the absolute whole. But it's simultaneously one and different, so it's not that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is becoming covered by the lower modes. That's the genius of the whole thing. Is that, you know, it's the absolute truth, but it's also not Krishna. And he says that at the beginning of the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Although I'm everywhere, although I enter within everything, even as the living entities, still I have my own separate existence. That's my mystic power, my most mystic potency. I'm still aloof from everything, even as I'm the absolute truth in everything and experiencing everything everywhere. You're welcome. What number, Sammy Prash? We're at 34. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, who in his unlimited, unmanifested form has expanded the cosmic manifestation, the form of the totality of the universe. He possesses external and internal energies, and the mixed energy called the marginal potency, which consists of all the living entities. Purport: the Lord is endowed with unlimited potencies, parasa shaktir vividaiva shuyate, which are summarized as three, namely external, internal, and marginal. The external potency manifests his material world, this material world, the internal potency manifests the spiritual world, and the marginal potency manifests the living entities, who are mixtures of the internal and external. The living entity, being part and parcel of Parabrahman, is actually internal potency. But because of being in contact with the material energy, he is an emanation of material and spiritual energies. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is above the material energy and is engaged in spiritual pastimes. The material energy is only an external manifestation of his pastimes. The material energy is only an external manifestation of his pastimes. 35. O my Lord, O best of the givers of benediction, if you will kindly grant me the benediction I desire, please let me not meet death from any of the living entities created by you. Purport, after being created from the navel of Garbhodakshay Vishnu, Lord Brahma, the original created living being within the universe, created many other different types of living entities to reside in this universe. Therefore, from the beginning of creation, the living entities were born of a superior living entity. Ultimately, Krishna, the supreme living being, ultimately Krishna is the supreme living being, the father of all others. Aham bija pradapita. He is the seed-giving father of all living entities. Thus far, Hiranyakashipu has adored Lord Brahma as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and has expected to become immortal by the benediction of Lord Brahma. Now, however, having come to understand that even Lord Brahma is not immortal, because at the end of the millennium, Lord Brahma will also die, Hiranyakashipu is very carefully asking him for benedictions that will be almost as good as immortality. His first proposal is that he not be killed by any of the different forms of living entities created by Lord Brahma within this material world.
Okay, here he goes. Trying to become immortal by tricking Lord Brahma, who he's pretending to worship as God. Grant me that I will not die within any residence or outside any residence during the daytime or at night, nor on the ground or in the sky. Grant me that my death not be brought about by any being created by someone other than you, nor by any weapon. That was an important point. There's some loopholes here. Nor by any weapon, nor by any human being or animal. Report. Hiranyakashipu was very much afraid of Vishnu's becoming an animal to kill him, because his brother had been killed by Vishnu when the Lord took the shape of a boar. He was therefore very careful to guard against all kinds of animals. But even without taking the shape of an animal, Vishnu could kill him by hurling his Sudarshan Chakra, which can go anywhere without the Lord's physical presence. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu was careful to guard against all kinds of weapons. He guarded against all kinds of time, space, and countries, because he was afraid of being killed by someone else in another land. There are many other planets, higher and lower, and therefore he prayed for the benediction of not being killed by any resident of any of these planets. There are three original deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. Hiranyakashipu knew that Brahma would not kill him, but he also wanted not to be killed by Lord Vishnu or Lord Shiva. Consequently, he prayed for such a benediction. Thus, Hiranyakashipu thought himself securely protected from any kind of death caused by any living entity within this universe. He also carefully guarded against natural death, which might take place within his house or outside of the house. 37 and 38. Grant me that I not meet death from any entity, living or non-living. Grant me further that I not be killed by any demigod or demon or by any great snake from the lower planets. Since no one can kill you in the battlefield, you have no competitor. Therefore, grant me the benediction that I too may have no rival. Give me sole lordship over all the living entities and presiding deities, and give me all the glories obtained by that position. Furthermore, give me all the mystic powers attained by long austerities and the practice of yoga, for these cannot be lost at any time. Purport. Lord Brahma obtained his supreme position due to long austerities and penances, mystic yoga, meditation, and so on. Hiranyakashipu wanted a similar position. The ordinary powers achieved by mystic yoga, austerities, and other processes are sometimes vanquished, but the powers obtained by the mercy of the Lord are never vanquished. Hiranyakashipu, therefore, wanted a benediction that would never be vanquished. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 3rd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Hiranyakashipu's Plan to Become Immortal.
Was very much satisfied by Hiranyakashipu's austerities, which were difficult to perform. Therefore, when solicited for benedictions, he indeed granted them, although they were rarely to be achieved. Lord Brahma said, "O Hiranyakashipu, these benedictions for which you have asked me are difficult to obtain for most men. Nonetheless, O my son, I shall grant you them, although they are generally not available." Purport. Material benedictions are not always exactly worthy of being called benedictions. If one possesses more and more, a benediction itself may become a curse. For just as achieving material opulence in this material world requires great strength and endeavor, maintaining it also requires great endeavor. Lord Brahma informed Hiranyakashipu that although he was ready to offer him whatever he had asked, the result of the benedictions would be very difficult for Hiranyakashipu to maintain. Nonetheless, since Brahma had promised, he wanted to grant all the benedictions asked. The word durlabhan indicates that one should not take benedictions one cannot enjoy peacefully. Then Lord Brahma, who awards infallible benedictions, departed, being worshipped by the best of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, and being praised by great sages and saintly persons. 4. The demon Hiranyakashipu, having thus been blessed by Lord Brahma and having acquired a lustrous golden body, continued to remember the death of his brother and therefore be envious of Lord Vishnu. Purport. A demoniac person, in spite of acquiring all the opulences possible to obtain in this universe, continues to be envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Didn't get rid of his envy.
Text 5 through 7. Hiranyakashipu became the conqueror of the entire universe. Indeed, that great demon conquered all the planets in the three worlds, upper, middle, and lower, including the planets of the human beings, the Gandharvas, the Garudas, the great serpents, the Siddhas, Charanas, Vidyadharas, the great saints, Yamaraj, the Manus, the Yakshas, Rakshasas, the Pishachas, and their masters, and the masters of the ghosts and Bhutas. He defeated the rulers of all the other planets where there are living entities, and brought them under his control. Conquering the abodes of all, he seized their power and influence. Report. The word indicates there are planets of great birds like Garuda. Similarly, the word Uraga indicates that there are planets of enormous serpents. Such a description of the various planets of the universe may challenge modern scientists who think that all planets but this Earth are vacant. These scientists claim to have launched excursions to the moon, where they have found no living entities, but only big craters full of dust and stone. Although in fact the moon is so brilliant that it acts like the sun in illuminating the entire universe. Of course, it is not possible to convince modern scientists of the Vedic information about the universe. Nonetheless, we are not very much impressed by the words of the scientists who say that all planets are vacant and that only the Earth is full of living entities. Text 8. Hiranyakashipu, who possessed all opulence, began residing in heaven with its famous Nandana garden, which is enjoyed by the demigods. In fact, he resided in the most opulent palace of Indra, the king of heaven. The palace had been directly constructed by the demigod architect Vishwakarma and was as beautifully made as if the goddess of fortune of the entire universe resided there. Purport. From this description, it appears that all the heavenly planets of the upper planetary system are thousands upon thousands of times more opulent than the lower planetary system in which we live. Vishwakarma, the famous heavenly architect, is known as the constructor of many wonderful buildings in the upper planets, where there are not only beautiful buildings, but also many opulent gardens and parks, which are described as Nandana Devo Dhyana, gardens quite fit to be enjoyed by the demigods. This description of the upper planetary system and its opulence is to be understood from authoritative scriptures like the Vedic literatures. Telescopes and other imperfect instruments of scientists are inadequate for evaluating the upper planetary system. Although such instruments are needed because the vision of the so-called scientists is imperfect, the instruments themselves are also imperfect. Therefore, the upper planets cannot be appraised by imperfect men using imperfect man-made instruments. Direct information received from the Vedic literature, however, is perfect. We therefore cannot accept the statement that there are no opulent residences on planets other than this Earth. Text 9 to 12. The steps of King Indra's residence were made of coral. The floor was bedecked with invaluable emeralds. The walls were of crystal, and the columns of Vaidurya stone. The wonderful canopies were beautifully decorated. The seats were bedecked with rubies, and the silk bedding, as white as foam, was decorated with pearls. The ladies of the palace, who were blessed with beautiful teeth and the most wonderfully beautiful faces, walked here and there in the palace, their ankle bells tinkling melodiously, and saw their beautiful reflections in the gems. The demigods, however, being very much oppressed, had to bow down and offer obeisances at the feet of Hiranyakashipu, who chastised the demigods very severely for no reason. Thus Hiranyakashipu lived in the palace and severely ruled everyone. Purport. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful in the heavenly planets that all the demigods except Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu were forced to engage in his service. Indeed, they were afraid of being severely punished if they disobeyed him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti has compared Hiranyakashipu to Maharaj Vena, who was also atheistic and scornful of the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas. Yet Maharaj Vena was afraid of some of the great sages, such as Bhrigu, whereas Hiranyakashipu ruled in such a way that everyone feared him but Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva. Hiranyakashipu was so alert against being burnt to ashes by the anger of great sages like Bhrigu that by dint of austerity he surpassed their power and placed even them under his subordination. It appears that even in the higher planetary systems to which people are promoted by pious activities, disturbances are created by asuras like Hiranyakashipu. No one in the three worlds can live in peace and prosperity without disturbance. 13. My dear king, Hiranyakashipu was always drunk on strong-smelling wines and liquors, and therefore his coppery eyes were always rolling. Nonetheless, because he had powerfully executed great austerities in mystic yoga, although he was abominable, all but the three principal demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu, personally worshipped him to please him by bringing him various presentations with their own hands. Purport. In the Skanda Purana, there is this description: Upayanam Dadu Sarve Vina Devan Hiranyakaha. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that everyone but the three principal demigods, namely Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu, engaged in his service. Madhvacharya says, Aditya Vasavo Rudras Tridiva Trivida Hi Surayataha. There are three kinds of demigods: the Adityas, the Vasus, and the Rudras, beneath whom are the other demigods, like the Maruts and Sadhyas. Marutash Chaiva Vishwecha Sadhyas Chaiva Chitad Gadaha. Therefore, all the demigods are called Tripishtapa. Tripishtapa. And the same word, Tri, applies to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu. Text 14. O Maharaj Yudhishthir, descendant of Pandu, by dint of his personal power, Hiranyakashipu, being situated on the throne of King Indra, controlled the inhabitants of all the other planets. The two Gandharvas, Vishwavasu, and Tumburu, I myself, and the Vidyadharas, Apsaras, and sages, all offered prayers to him, again and again, just to glorify him. Purport. The Asuras sometimes become so powerful that they can engage even Narada Muni and similar devotees in their service. This does not mean that Narada was subordinate to Hiranyakashipu. Sometimes, however, it so happens in this material world that great personalities, even great devotees, can also be controlled by the Asuras.
It's very interesting that actually it is very interesting to notice that Hiranyakashipu, he had all these things already while being in the spiritual world, Siddhadeha. He is like, he wants to gain in the material world this the same position. He wants Siddhadeha, actually. This is what he wants. But in the material world, he cannot get it. Of course, he'll get it automatically very soon. But this is very interesting that he wants Siddhadeha. This is what he wants.
And also about Narada Muni. Narada Muni here, it says that Narada Muni
there is beautiful story about Ravana and Narada Muni, but I don't think we have time about it. It was when Ravana ordered Narada Muni, who was passing on the sky, to come down and instruct me in the mystery of chanting Om. And then Narada Muni, by his free will, he just for kindly actually came and offered obeisances, and they had a very interesting interaction, but it's a little bit long story. At the end, maybe some other time, maybe you know the story. It's a beautiful story, exactly appropriate for this. So Narada told Ravana that it's the way, first of all, he need to accept, he need to understand that actually Om designates the Supreme Personality of Godhead and these kind of things, which immediately made Ravana block his ears. And then Narada Muni said, okay, you want to accept me as guru to teach you, then you need to really like follow what I say, and this is what I say, and you are like not accepting my first instruction. So then Ravana, okay, please continue, something like this. And then Narada Muni continued, and he requested the same thing, because he actually explained to Ravana that he is unqualified to get this knowledge, which was very offensive for Ravana. He became mad. And he said, how you dare to tell that I'm not qualified, I'm Trilokeshvara Ravana and everything. And then he said, if you do not willingly teach me, I'll make you teach me. And then he called for his sword, which was called, what was the name of the sword? Chandrahasa. Chandrahasa, and he was a mystical sword, which just you tell them who need to be sliced, and he was just flying there and slicing. So he ordered Chandrahasa to really, first he tried different weapons, didn't work, and then he called for Chandrahasa, and he said, okay, now I'll teach. And then Chandrahasa was cutting through Narada's body, apparently, but Narada was just undisturbed. So then Ravana realized that this is not normal body, and he realized that actually Narada has already everything he wanted, like spiritual body. He didn't know that it's called like this, but like immortal and unconquerable. And then he was, oh, you're so powerful. Again, he was like humbly approaching, please teach me how you achieve this. No demigod or anybody could resist my Chandrahasa. And then Narada said, okay, as I said already, you're just changing your mood. First you want me to teach you something, then you're arrogant, you refuse, and then like this. So this story is very nice because it shows exactly the attitude of the demon, that they want exactly what actually the devotees have naturally, but they're not ready to accept some small details, so they remain stupid, inimical to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this makes them different from the demigods. They don't want, cannot accept worshipping Vishnu, they're envious, and like this. But this story is like showing, nicely illustrating this situation here.
So that illustrates the point that Narada only appears to be.
He accepted the order of Ravana, come here and do certain things, but this is his free will. He's totally, as we saw, he's Siddhadeha, he's totally unaccountable to anybody else except the Supreme Personality.
Yeah, he takes it to Krishna's, you know, will.
Yeah, that's why it's difficult to understand devotees and Krishna's pastimes. It's difficult. Those who don't know, they cannot penetrate in this mystery.
Yeah, he's keeping himself close to the path. As he usually does, he stays right in there, close to the pastime, or to the, you know, the lila that's going, so he can have his influence. It's like later he's going to be instructing Prahlad, right? So he wrecks Hiranyakashipu's whole thing, even though he's there, you know, apparently subservient and everything like that. And still, even with Kamsa, it appears like he's on Kamsa's side, but he's just accelerating he's churning it faster, right?
It's
an important
it up.
Perspective, because it's just a little bit of a sutra here about how he's subordinate, but it was nice that you unpacked it for us. Thank you very much.
Being worshipped by sacrifices offered with great gifts by those who strictly followed the principles of Varna and Ashram, Hiranyakashipu, instead of offering shares of the oblations to the demigods, accepted them himself. Sixteen.
As if in fear of Hiranyakashipu, the planet Earth, which consists of seven islands, delivered food grains without being plowed. Thus it resembled cows like the Surabhi of the spiritual world or the Kama Dugha of heaven. That's a beautiful name, Kama Dugha. The earth yielded sufficient food grains, the cows supplied abundant milk, and outer space was beautifully decorated with wonderful phenomena. By the flowing of their waves, the various oceans of the universe, along with their tributaries, the rivers, which are compared to their wives, supplied various kinds of gems and jewels for Hiranyakashipu's use. These oceans were the oceans of salt water, sugar cane juice, wine, clarified butter, milk, yogurt, and sweet water. Purport, the water of the seas of oceans of this planet, of which we have experience, are salty, but other planets within the universe contain oceans of sugarcane juice, liquor, ghee, milk, and sweet water. The rivers are figuratively described as wives of the oceans and seas because they glide down to the oceans and seas as tributaries, like the wives attached to their husbands. Modern scientists attempt excursions to other planets, but they have no information of how many different types of oceans and seas there are within the universe. According to their experience, the moon is full of dust, but this does not explain how it gives us soothing rays from a distance of millions of miles. As far as we are concerned, we follow the authority of Vyasadeva and Shukadeva Goswami, who have described the universal situation according to the Vedic literature. These authorities differ from modern scientists who conclude from their imperfect sensual experience that only this planet is inhabited by living beings, whereas the other planets are all vacant and full of dust. All other planets are all vacant or full of dust. 18. The valleys between the mountains became fields of pleasure for Hiranyakashipu, by whose influence all the trees and planets... The valleys between the mountains became fields of pleasure for Hiranyakashipu, by whose influence all the trees and plants produce fruits and flowers profusely in all seasons. The qualities of pouring water, drying and burning, which are all qualities of the three departmental heads of the universe, namely Indra, Vayu, and Agni, were all directed by Hiranyakashipu alone, without assistance from the demigods. Purport. It is said in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Tejo Vari Mridam Yata Vinimaya. This material world is conducted by fire, water, and earth, which combine and take shape. Here it is mentioned that the three modes of nature, Pratagunan, act under the direction of different demigods. For example, King Indra is in charge of pouring water. The demigod Vayu controls the air and dries up the water, whereas the demigod controlling fire burns everything. Hiranyakashipu, however, by dint of his austere performances of mystic yoga, became so powerful that he alone took charge of everything without assistance from the demigods. 19. In spite of achieving the power to control in all directions and in spite of enjoying all types of dear sense gratification as much as possible, Hiranyakashipu was dissatisfied because instead of controlling his senses, he remained their servant. Purport, this is an example of a suric life. Atheists can advance materially and create an extremely comfortable situation for the senses, but because they are controlled by the senses, they cannot be satisfied. This is the effect of modern civilization. Materialists are very much advanced in enjoying money and women, yet dissatisfaction prevails within human society because human society cannot be happy and peaceful without Krishna consciousness. As far as material sense gratification is concerned, materialists may go on increasing their enjoyment as far as they can imagine. But because people in such a material condition are servants of their senses, they cannot be satisfied. Hiranyakashipu was a vivid example of this dissatisfied state of humanity. Where's that? Let's see, this is an example of a esoteric life. Atheists cannot advance materially and create an extreme. Materialists can advance materially and create an extremely comfortable situation for the senses, but because they are controlled by the senses, they cannot be satisfied. This is the effect of modern civilization. I mean, in the beginning, they say they're giving the cause and then the effect. 20. Hiranyakashipu thus passed a long time being very much proud of his opulences and transgressing the laws. Really? Evam Aishwarya Matasya? All right.
Having been subjected to a curse by the four Kumaras.
Here, start over.
This is 20. Evam Aishwarya Matasya Triptasyo Chastravartinaha Kalumahan Jatiyaya Brahma Shapam Upayushaha.
Having been subjected to a curse by the four Kumaras, who were great Brahmanas, Hiranyakashipu thus passed a long time being very much proud of his opulences and transgressing the laws and regulations mentioned in the authoritative shastras.
Purport. There have been many instances in which demons, after achieving material opulences, have become extremely proud, so much so that they have transgressed the laws and regulations given in the authoritative shastras. Hiranyakashipu acted in this way. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 16:23, Yashastra vidumutsrija vartate kamakarata nasasidhim avapnoti nasukam naparam gatim. He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts nasukam naparam gatim nasukam naparam gatim. He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. The word shastra refers to that which controls our activities. We cannot violate or transgress the laws and regulative principles mentioned in the shastras. Bhagavad Gita repeatedly confirms this. Tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya vyavastitau gatva shastra vidhantoktam karma kartum iharhasi karma kartum iharhasi karma kartum iharhasi. One should understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules.
Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Everyone, including the rulers of the various planets, was extremely distressed because of the severe punishment inflicted upon them by Hiranyakashipu. Fearful and disturbed, unable to find any other shelter, they at last surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Purport. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhuktadam Jagatapasam Sarvalomakaheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Richtasi Gyatvamam Shantim Richtasi Gyatvamam Shantim Richtasi. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is actually the best friend of everyone. In a condition of distress or misery, one wants to seek shelter of a well-wishing friend. The well-wishing friend of the perfect order is Lord Sri Krishna. Therefore, all the inhabitants of the various planets, being unable to find any other shelter, were obliged to seek shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Friend. If from the very beginning we seek shelter of the Supreme Friend, there will be no cause of danger. It is said that if a dog is swimming in the water and one wants to cross the ocean by catching hold of the dog's tail, he is foolish. Similarly, if in distress one seeks shelter of a demigod, he is foolish, for his efforts will be fruitless. In all circumstances, one should seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then there will be no danger under any circumstances. 22-23. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto that direction where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated, where those purified souls in the renounced order of life, the great saintly persons, go, and from which, having gone, they never return. Without sleep, fully controlling their minds, and living on only their breath, the predominating deities of the various planets began worshipping Rishikesha with this meditation. Purport. The two words tasyai kashtayai are very significant. Everywhere, in every direction, in every heart, and in every atom, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in his features as Brahman and Paramatma. Then what is the purpose of saying tasyai kashtayai in that direction where Hari is situated? During Hiranyakashipu's time, his influence was everywhere, but he could not force his influence into the places where the Supreme Personality of God had his pastimes. For example, on this earth, there are such places as Vrindavan and Ayodhya. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. During Hiranyakashipu's time, his influence was everywhere, but he could not force his influence into the places where the Supreme Personality of Godhead had his pastimes. For example, on this earth, there are such places as Vrindavan and Ayodhya, which are called Dhammas. In the Dham, there is no influence of Kali Yuga or any demon. If one takes shelter of such a Dham, worship of the Lord becomes very easy, and resultant spiritual advancement quickly takes place. In fact, in India, one may still go to Vrindavan and similar places to achieve the results of spiritual activities quickly. Text 24. Then there appeared before them a transcendental sound vibration, emanating from a personality not visible to material eyes. The voice was as grave as the sound of a cloud, and it was very encouraging, driving away all fear. 25 and 26. The voice of the Lord vibrated as follows: O best of learned persons, do not fear. I wish all good fortune to you. Become my devotees by hearing and chanting about me and offering me prayers, for these are certainly meant to award benedictions to all living entities. I know all about the activities of Hiranyakashipu and shall surely stop them very soon. Please wait patiently until that time. Purport. Sometimes people are very much eager to see God. In considering the word Madarshanam, seeing me, which is mentioned in this verse, one should note that in Bhagavad Gita the Lord says, Bhaktya mam abhijanati. In other words, the ability to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or to see him, or talk with him, depends on one's advancement in devotional service, which is called bhakti. In bhakti, there are 9 different activities: shravanam, kirtanam, vishno, smaranam, pada, sevanam, archanam, bandhanam, dasyam, sakyam, atma, nivedanam. Because all these devotional activities are absolute, There is no fundamental difference between worshiping the deity in the temple, seeing him, and chanting his glories. Indeed, all of these are ways of seeing him, for everything done in devotional service is a means of direct contact with the Lord. The vibration of the Lord's voice appeared in the presence of all the devotees, and although the person vibrating the sound was unseen to them, they were meeting or seeing the Lord because they were offering prayers, and because the vibration of the Lord was present, and because the vibration of the Lord was present. Contrary to the laws of the material world, there is no difference between seeing the Lord, offering prayers, and hearing the transcendental vibration. Pure devotees, therefore, are fully satisfied by glorifying the Lord. Such glorification is called kirtan. Performing kirtan and hearing the vibration of the sound Hare Krishna is actually seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. One must realize this position, and then one will be able to understand the absolute nature of the Lord's activities. 27. Wait.
When one is envious of the demigods who represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead of the Vedas, which give all knowledge of the cows, brahmanas, Vaishnavas, and religious principles, and ultimately of me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he and his civilization will be vanquished without delay. 28. When Hiranyakashipu teases the great devotee Prahlad, his own son, who is peaceful and sober and who has no enemy, I shall kill Hiranyakashipu immediately, despite the benedictions of Brahma. Purport, of all sinful activities, an offense to a pure devotee or Vaishnava is the most severe. An offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava is so disastrous that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has compared it to a mad elephant that enters a garden and causes great havoc by uprooting many plants and trees. If one is an offender at the lotus feet of a Brahmana or Vaishnava, his offenses uproot all his auspicious activities. One should therefore very carefully guard against committing Vaishnava Paratha, or offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Here the Lord clearly says that although Hiranyakashipu had received benedictions from Lord Brahma, these benedictions would be null and void as soon as he committed an offense at the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, his own son. A Vaishnava like Prahlad Maharaj is described herein as Nirvaira, having no enemies. Elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.21 it is said, Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhu Bhushana. A devotee has no enemies. He is peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. A devotee does not create enmity with anyone. But if someone becomes his enemy, that person will be vanquished by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, despite whatever benedictions he may have received from other sources. Hiranyakashipu was certainly enjoying the fruitful results of his austerities, but here the Lord says that as soon as he committed an offense at the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, he would be ruined. One's longevity, opulence, beauty, education, and whatever else one may possess as a result of pious activities cannot protect one if one commits an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Despite whatever one possesses, if one offends the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, he will be vanquished. 29. The great saint Narada Muni continued, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master of everyone, thus reassured all the demigods living in the heavenly planets, they offered their respectful obeisances unto him and returned, confident that the demon Hiranyakashipu was now practically dead. Purport, the less intelligent men who are always busy worshipping the demigods should note that when the demigods are harassed by the demons, they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for relief. Since the demigods resort to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why should the worshippers of the demigods not approach the Supreme Lord for whatever benefits they desire? Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10 says, Akama sarvakamo va mokshakam udarati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushamparam yajeta purushamparam yajeta purushamparam whether one desires everything or nothing, or whatever he whether he desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. Whether one is a karmi, jnani, or yogi, if one wants a particular benediction fulfilled, even if it be material, one should approach the Supreme Lord and pray to him, for then it will be fulfilled. There is no need to approach any demigod separately for the fulfillment of any desire. 30. Hiranyakashipu had four wonderful, well-qualified sons, of whom the one named Prahlad was the best. Indeed, Prahlad was a reservoir of all transcendental qualities because he was an unalloyed devotee of the Personality of Godhead. Purport. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinshana sarvar gunais tatra samasate sura. If one who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. Prahlad Maharaj is praised herein for having all good qualities because of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a pure devotee who has no motives has all good qualities, material and spiritual. If one is spiritually advanced, being a staunch, liberal devotee of the Lord, all good qualities are manifest in his body. On the other hand, Haravabhaktasya kato mahatguna. If one is not a devotee, even if he has some materially good qualities, they have no value. That is the verdict of the Vedas.
31, 32. The qualities of Maharaja Prahlad, the son of Hiranyakashipu, are described herewith. He was completely cultured as a qualified Brahmana, having very good character and being determined to understand the absolute truth. He had full control of his senses and mind. Like the Supersoul, he was kind to every living entity and was the best friend of everyone. To respectable persons, he acted exactly like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. To his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother. And he considered his teachers, spiritual masters, and older godbrothers to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was completely free from unnatural pride that might have arisen from his good education, riches, beauty, aristocracy, and so on. Purport. These are some of the qualifications of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is automatically a Brahmana because a Vaishnava has all the good qualities of a Brahmana. Shamodamastapakshaucham chantir arjabamevacha jnanam vijnana astikyam brahmakarma sabhavajam brahmakarma sabhavajam brahmakarma sabhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the Brahmanas work. These qualities are manifest in the body of a Vaishnava. Therefore, a perfect Vaishnava is also a perfect Brahmana, as indicated here by the words Brahmanya Shila Sampana. A Vaishnava is always determined to understand the absolute truth. And to understand the absolute truth, one needs to have full control over his senses and mind. Prahlad Maharaj possessed all these qualities. A Vaishnava is always a well-wisher to everyone. The six Goswamis, for example, are described in this way. Dida, dida, janapriyao. They were popular, both with the gentle and the ruffians. A Vaishnava must be equal to everyone, regardless of one's position. Atmavat. A Vaishnava should be like Paramatma. Ishwarak sarvabhutanam riddhichar janatishtati. Paramatma does not hate anyone. Indeed, he is in the heart of a Brahmana, but he is also even in the heart of a pig. As the moon never refuses to distribute its pleasing rays even to the home of a chandala, a Vaishnava
never refuses to act for anyone's welfare. Therefore, a Vaishnava is always obedient to the spiritual master, Arya. The word Arya refers to one who is advanced in knowledge. One who is deficient in knowledge cannot be called Arya. At the present, however, the word Arya is used to refer to those who are godless. This is the unfortunate situation of Kali Yuga. The word guru refers to the spiritual master who initiates his disciple into advancement in the science of Krishna or Krishna consciousness, as stated by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Shri Bhagavan Mantro Bhateshake Gurau Ityartha. Text 33. Although although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he himself was not an asura, but a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Unlike the other asuras, he was never envious of Vaishnavas. He was not agitated when put into danger, and he was neither directly nor indirectly interested in the fruitive activities described in the Vedas. Indeed, he considered everything material to be useless, and therefore he was completely devoid of material desires. He always controlled his senses and life air, and being of steady intelligence and determination, he subdued all lusty desires. Purport. From this verse we discover that a man is not qualified or disqualified simply by birth. Prahlad Maharaj was an asura by birth, yet he possessed all the qualities of a perfect brahmana, brahmanya shila sampanna. Anyone can become a fully qualified brahmana under the direction of a spiritual master. Prahlad Maharaj provided a vivid example of how to think of the spiritual master and accept his directions calmly. Text 34. O King, Prahlad Maharaj's good qualities are still glorified by learned saints and Vaishnavas. As all good qualities are always found existing in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they also exist forever in his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. Purport. From authoritative scripture it is learned that Prahlad Maharaj still lives in Vaikuntha Loka as well as within this material world on the planet Sutala. This transcendental quality of existing simultaneously in different places is another qualification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Goloka eva nifasat jakilatma bhuta. The Lord appears in the core of everyone's heart and yet exists on his own planet, Goloka Vrindavan. A devotee acquires qualities almost the same as those of your Lord because of unalloyed devotional service. Ordinary living beings cannot be so qualified, but a devotee can be qualified like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not in full, but partially. Text 35. In any assembly where there are discourses about saints and devotees, O King Yudhishthir, even the enemies of the demons, namely the demigods, what to speak of you, would cite Prahlad Maharaj as an example of a great devotee.
Who could list the innumerable transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj? He had unflinching faith in Vasudev, Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudev, and unalloyed devotion to him. His attachment to Lord Krishna was natural because of his previous devotional service. Although his good qualities cannot be enumerated, they prove that he was a great soul, Mahatma. Purport. In his prayers to the 10 incarnations, Jayadeva Goswami says, Keshavadritta Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee of Lord Drishinga, who is Keshava, Krishna himself, Therefore, when this verse says, Vasudeva Bhagavati, one should understand that Prahlad Maharaj's attachment for Nrisingadev was attachment for Krishna, Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, is described as a great Mahatma. As the Lord himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Bahunam jamanan mante gyanavan mam prapadyate Vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sadurlabha sa mahatma sadurlabha sa mahatma sadurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. A great devotee of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, is a great soul very rarely to be found. Prahlad Maharaj's attachment for Krishna will be explained in the next verse. Krishna graha guhitatma. Prahlad Maharaj's heart was always filled with thoughts of Krishna. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is the ideal devotee in Krishna consciousness. 37. From the very beginning of his childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playthings. Indeed, he gave them up altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on, being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj is the vivid example of a great person fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 8.274, it is said, Stavara jangama deki na deki tarmurti sarvatra hoyo nija ishta deva spurti. A fully Krishna conscious person, although situated in this material world, does not see anything but Krishna anywhere and everywhere. This is the sign of a Mahabhagavata. The Mahabhagavata sees Krishna everywhere because of his attitude of pure love for Krishna. As confirmed in the Brahma Sanghita 5.38, Primanjana chudita bhakti vilochanena santaksa daiva hrudayeshi vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya gunaswarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotees, by the devotee whose eyes are anointed with the purple of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shamasundar, situated within the heart of the devotee. An exalted devotee or Mahatma, who is rarely to be seen, remains fully conscious of Krishna and constantly sees the Lord within the core of his heart. It is sometimes said that when one is influenced by evil stars like Saturn, Rahu, or Ketu, he cannot make advancement in any prospective activity. In just the opposite way, Prahlad Maharaj was influenced by Krishna, the supreme planet, and thus he could not think of the material world and live without Krishna consciousness. That is a sign of a Mahabhagavata. Even if one is an enemy of Krishna, a Mahabhagavata sees him to be also engaged in Krishna's service. Another crude example is that everything appears yellow to the jaundiced eye. Similarly to a Mahabhagavata, everyone but himself appears to be engaged in Krishna's service. Prahlad Maharaj is the approved Mahabhagavata, the supreme devotee. In the previous verse, it was stated that he had natural attachment, naishargiki rati. The symptoms of such natural attachment for Krishna are described in this verse. Although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, he had no interest in playing. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.242, Virakta Anyatracha, the symptom of perfect Krishna consciousness is that one loses interest in all material activities. For a small boy to give up playing is impossible, but Prahlad Maharaj, being situated in first-class devotional service, was always absorbed in a trance of Krishna consciousness, just as a materialistic person is always absorbed in thoughts of material gain. A Mahabhagavata like Prahlad Maharaj is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. 38. Prahlad Maharaj was always absorbed in thought of Krishna. Thus, being always embraced by the Lord, he did not know how his bodily necessities, such as sitting, walking, eating, lying down, drinking, and talking, were being automatically performed. Purport: a small child, while being cared for by his mother, does not know how the needs of the body for eating, sleeping, lying down, passing water, and evacuating are being fulfilled. He is simply satisfied to be on the lap of his mother. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj was exactly like a small child, being cared for by Govinda. The necessary activities of his body were performed without his knowledge. As a father and mother care for their child, Govinda cared for Prahlad Maharaj, who remained always absorbed in thoughts of Govinda. This is Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj is the vivid example of perfection in Krishna consciousness. Govinda parirambita, the verse says. 39. Because of advancement in Krishna consciousness, he sometimes cried, sometimes laughed, sometimes expressed jubilation, and sometimes sang loudly. Purport: this verse further clarifies the comparison of a devotee to a child. If a mother leaves her small child in his bed or cradle and goes away to attend to some family duties, the child immediately understands that his mother has gone away, and therefore he cries. But as soon as the mother returns and cares for the child laughs and becomes jubilant. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, being always absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna, sometimes felt separation, thinking, where is Krishna? This is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. When an exalted devotee feels that Krishna is invisible, having gone away, he cries in separation, and sometimes, when he sees that Krishna has returned to care for him, he laughs, just as a child sometimes laughs upon understanding that his mother is taking care of him. These symptoms are called bhava. In the nectar of devotion, various bhavas, ecstatic conditions of a devotee, are fully described. These bhavas are visible in the activities of a perfect devotee. 40. Sometimes, upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj would loudly call in full anxiety. He sometimes lost his shyness and jubilation and began dancing in ecstasy. And sometimes, being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. Purport: Prahlad Maharaj sometimes felt that the Lord was far away from him and therefore called him loudly. When he saw that the Lord was before him, he was fully jubilant. Sometimes, thinking himself one with the Supreme, he imitated the Lord's pastimes, and in separation from the Lord, he would sometimes show symptoms of madness. These feelings of a devotee would not be appreciated by impersonalists. One must go further and further into spiritual understanding. The first realization is impersonal Brahman, but one must go still further to realize Paramatma and eventually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worshipped by the transcendental feelings of a devotee in a relationship of Shanta, Dasya, Sukya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Here the feelings of Prahlad Maharaj were in the mellow of Vatsalya, filial love and affection. As a child cries when left by his mother, when Prahlad Maharaj felt that the Lord was away from him, he began to cry, Nadati. Again, a devotee like Prahlad sometimes sees that the Lord is coming from a long distance to pacify him, like a mother responding to a child saying, my dear child, do not cry, I'm coming. Then the devotee, without being ashamed due to his surroundings and circumstances, begins to dance, thinking, here's my Lord is coming. Thus the devotee, in full ecstasy, sometimes imitates the pastimes of the Lord, just as the cowherd boys used to imitate the behavior of the jungle animals. However, he does not actually become the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj achieved the spiritual ecstasies described herein by his advancement in spiritual understanding. And thus ends this morning's reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We invite everyone to return for further readings at 3:30 this afternoon. Thanks for joining us online. Go Premanande!
Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, hey, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman.